Joining me on this edition is a man whose band are about to release their fifth album and their first for 4 years. Outsiders revs up the engine on a slightly tougher aesthetic, and I'm really looking forward to talking to my guest about it. From Magic Numbers, Romeo Stoddart, welcome to the Mouthcast. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. A little hungover from last night, but yeah, I'm rocking.
Okay, Party Central, was it?
Oh, well, we just did a video shoot over the weekend for our upcoming single.
Right.
Yeah, so we had a sort of rap party at the end of the night.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Hungover from video shoots and rehearsals for the forthcoming tour in full swing, I don't doubt.
Yeah. We're really excited to get back out on the road, really, to play these songs live. It's going to feel really, so.
Well, as I say, Magic Numbers are about to put out their fifth album, and we're going to be talking about that in this podcast. So before we do, let's hear that single that you mentioned. This is Ride Against the Wind.
www.themouthmagazine.com.
Reckless Mama's got a dream machine.
Romeo, that was Ride Against the Wind, and I think it sets the tone beautifully, actually, for the rest of the album. On this one, as I said, you're kind of revving up the engine on a slightly tougher aesthetic, I'd imagine this one will finally kick that idea of the band as twee right into the long grass and about time too.
Yeah, you know what? I think you actually nailed it there. It really is true, to be honest. It almost feels in some ways like a first record as well. It feels like that with the band, like we just made like this debut album. Yeah, no, it's cool. I'm loving it.
There's a bit of Marlon Brando, the Wild One, in there, I think, in the aesthetic, a sort of leather-clad toughness, if you like. And I felt also there was, in spirit, a bit of a nod to Fleetwood Mac's Go Your Own Way.
Yeah.
I suppose Outside of Chic has always been attractive. The sense of feeling like you don't quite fit in, but then you do fit in to something.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's more of a celebration of that realization, isn't it? That at some point in your life, like when you're a teen and you're kind of finding yourself and you're finding music, there's that whole, you know, you're just in that zone of like not, you know, you're just wanting to rebel against like either your parents or like the norm or whatever it is, the structure of things. There's an awakening really that happens, or I hope it happens with everybody, where you just accept who you are. You just don't care really about what anyone really has to say. You're kind of just doing your own thing. And I think that's how we feel as a band now. Like, we've done quite a few records. We've had successful records. We've had less successful records. We want to do like our own label, which we've set up now for this record. And the whole thing is just about us enjoying it all again and just not thinking too much and having a bit more fun as well with it. And, you know, obviously like there's that spirit, and the lyrics of the songs I was writing seem to represent a lot of that kind of freer spirit. But it's mainly like just how we all are in our lives at the moment. Just feeling, you know, in a better place in our personal lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Funnily enough, I was going to say that the previous album, Alias, felt like a kind of breakup album. But this one seems psychologically free.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a lot more. I think with Alias, I think Alias and The Runaway, like both those records, was just sort of darker periods. I mean, obviously there were things that were still happening that was amazing, but overall there was a lot of personal kind of baggage and the weight. So you can hear it, and it's funny because we started playing some of these new songs live, and I love everything that we've done. So if whenever we play, it's like, oh, let's play this one from this record and whatever. Like we've not felt like, oh no, we can't play that. We don't like that anymore. But when you play like some of the older songs we were playing, like off Alias and stuff, I was like, geez, after the song, you know, because you get into the zone of singing the song and everything, and maybe you remember what you were thinking or where you were. And I could feel like a draining, just in terms of it being like a darker place, really. So
yeah, I guess like pouring through the pages of an old diary, you know, it's going to take you back into the moment a little bit, that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I guess you write in character sometimes. Ride Against the Wind seems to be about a motorcycle gang. I presume you're not a member of a motorcycle gang.
No. with that song, it is a motorcycle gang, a girl motorcycle gang that sort of made up the Motorcycle Maidens. And it was like four characters. Well, my sister, Reckless Mama, she's the first in the first verse. And then there's Angelina, which is Ange. So I've changed her to Angelina. Then our friend Kelly is Cosmic Kelly. And then there's Lil Raven, who's Ren, my girlfriend. So and that's the video we were shooting about, like the four girls and the gang. I've done bits of character writing before. A lot of the time it is, though, just like unconsciously singing and playing and getting a feeling coming out first lyrically, you know what I mean? And then obviously with what I want to say, and dictates where we kind of go with it.
So you get the vibe and then work your way towards the specifics, if you like. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing is always like the feeling for me, like you're playing something or you're singing something and the melody informs where you want to go and lyrics. I rarely just like write lyrics first and then put music to words. I always find that, like, because I'm always doing that. I'm always sat there writing things, and if it's on my phone in notes, and like, and sometimes I read it back, and or whilst I'm doing it, it's like really poetic, and I'm like, oh wow, this is Leonard Cohen, this is, or whatever. Like, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. But then when you start putting music to it, and then it feels too overthought or too trying too hard, or do you know what I mean? And so.
Yeah.
I kind of like it to be a lot more unconscious in a way. But yeah.
As a chief songwriter in a band, how much do you actually have the other three in mind during the writing? Are you very consciously writing for the Magic Numbers or for yourself?
Just writing for myself, to be honest. Just writing all the time. And sometimes I'll write something like on previous records, Throwing My Heart Away, which was on The Runaway. As soon as I started playing the piano and that line came, and I just thought, oh, wow, this is going to be amazing. I can hear Angela singing this melody. And then there's other things that I think, oh, this will be great as a three part, because it's like something cool within the chord, harmony wise. And, but a lot of the time, yeah, no, I'm just playing and just writing. I've got tons of songs, and then I sort of think, oh, these will be great to bring to the band, and then we can work on it. And if something shapes, then, you know, that'll inform what kind of record it is or where we are at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you go through that process of taking it to the others, is it jammed upwards, as it were, or are you very specific about what you want?
It can be a bit of both. Like, for instance, on this record, there are certain songs that I had the full kind of arrangement of how it should go. It's very specific of like, oh, I think you should play this or that or whatever. But then there are other things, you know, like Sweet Divide was just more of a jammy, crazy horse kind of feel. Let's just play it through and you know, and we just play it. But I mean, the amazing thing with everybody is that I could go in as well sometimes with a clear idea and I'm thinking it's killer. Then someone does something and flips it on its head and then I'm like, oh, okay, no, hold on. What I was thinking actually was really wrong. Let's just play what we're doing here. And Michelle can do that quite a lot, like really amazingly, especially with, like, you know, she's very melodic with her bass lines and she can sort of drive it in a way that makes us play tougher and stuff. Because that's the other thing as well. Sometimes I write just on an acoustic, like a lot of the songs, sometimes like a little nylon string guitar, and then it turns out to be this like rocking thing. So it's kind of like, you know, it varies really.
It gets to where it's going, whatever the process is.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Clutching at the vine, whispering in style, as you place your head between the speakers, life's songs breathing into you on your bedroom floor where the sadness grew, and you yearn for more. Please don't disturb me, mama. I'm waiting to be found.
thought that you knew love, then again you say, I don't even know myself. Yes, I'm realizing that we're all just lost children, still waiting to be found. Clutching at the vine, still searching as we smile, and we'll listen loud to the silent sound, so deafening as it talks to me. Don't you rescue me, don't come into my room, mama.
I felt privileged to see Magic Numbers on the McAlmont and Butler tour a couple of years ago. Obviously, you were in the McAlmont and Butler band.
Yeah.
But Magic Numbers did a support slot, and it was just this incredibly gracious and warm half hour, I think.
That's cool.
Which kind of sat as a counterpoint to McAlmont and Butler, the uproarious soul there. But it really seemed like you guys particularly enjoyed working with them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Love them to bits. I really do. I don't live too far from Bernard, so I see him regularly. And he's a good friend. And David, he's just, amazing. I mean, I think he's one of the greatest singers ever, really. And, like, to be in this time with him singing as well, like, being around and being part of that band and hearing those songs. Because, I mean, the thing is with me as well, I was a huge... I still am. I'm a huge fan of both of those. Like with David, I actually, when I first moved to this country, I watched this show, The Beat, with Gary Crowley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it was really late at night, and David McColman was on as McColman. And he was like, really outlandish, like really sort of flamboyant, crazy outfit. I was like, whoa, who is this? Like, this is incredible. And so then I bought that first record. And then alongside that, when I first moved to London as well, I used to go and see Suede, like those early gigs. And I'd always stand at the right side of the stage where Bernard would be, and I'd just be like transfixed watching him play the guitar and just be like, whoa, yeah. And so I was a massive fan of early Suede with Bernard. So then getting to make music with the two of them, so when they both got together to do the collaboration, McCormick and Butler, I was like, fucking hell, this is insane. I love these two, and they've got together. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But being part of the band, playing bass on those and that tour was just tons of fun. And then the girls got to do their Tina Turner dance with with David, which they still do when they see each other regularly. they'll redo that dance at 4 a.m. having a drink.
the pair of them, they're just magnetic personalities on stage, aren't they?
Yeah,
it must have been incredible to be around that energy, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the songs.
Yeah.
And Mako as well, Mako and the Drums. Yeah, it was just all killer.
You've worked with various people, actually. You've also worked with Damon Albarn, and you played on the Spiritualized album, I think, Sweetheart, Sweet Light.
Yeah.
Various band members, various members of the Magic Numbers have spent time doing diverse work with other artists. And I wondered for you whether that freshens up what you bring to the Magic Numbers, whether, because it's your biggest creative outlet, I suppose, but because you're kind of in demand elsewhere too, I wondered whether it can feel like a side project that you need to get back to sometimes, sure. If you see what I mean.
Yeah, it's kind of like an anchor, really. It's been my like whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, music is just the thing every day. It's just music all the time. So other things present themselves, you know what I mean? You meet certain people. So I'm always just like, yeah, I'm up for that, or this sounds cool, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the anchor being the band, coming back, there's always that thing of whatever I do then informs what I do with the band. And I think recently, actually, for definite, with this record, in between Alias and Outsiders, this new album, I've been working for the last couple of years, like last few years, with Ren Harvey and her record, her album. And she's actually been a massive influence on me creatively as well, because she's challenged me in terms of songwriting as well, because we write the songs together for our album, but she sort of really drives me with staying in the song and, you know, getting inside like what it is. It's just been intense in a great way, in that it also has been so intense that the reaction as well has been more like going back to the band is just me like wanting to play just like, let's just rock out here on the guitar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Get your foot on the monitor and wang out a couple of G chords.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I think the two things that have been running in tandem for the last couple of years has been cool. Like, you know, like working with her and making this beautifully intricate, deep, really personal to her and everything. And then rebelling in some ways in myself that I didn't want to do that. Not that it isn't, you know, an intense record in its own way or whatever, but it's a lot more within the feeling being a little lighter, which I think has been different really for us. So.
There's some great stuff on the album. Lost Children is particularly great, I think. And the opening track, Shotgun Wedding, that's got to be another single.
Yeah,
but we're going to play out in a moment with Power Lines.
Funny you should say with Lost Children, because it's the first ever Magic Number song that we've ever put out that's one take. So that was the take. Like, that's really cool that you like that one. And, but Power Lines... It started more an acoustic. That was like I was saying, like a sort of nylon string. I was going for more of a sort of the feeling that it was coming from. It was like Magnolia by J.J. Cale.
Oh, yeah. That's really a vibey record, that is, isn't it?
Yeah. That was kind of how I envisioned it. I sort of started in that way with the band arrangement-wise, but then like it had also this kind of soul element, which I was drawn to as well. So we ended up doing something a little different there with it production wise. But it's a song about getting through hard times, getting through to the other end. If you have this knowing, the lyric I keep coming back to in the song is, if I turn around, will you be looking? And it's that kind of early thing in like a relationship or like first loves or something that should be there throughout, really. That if, you know, you're leaving someone, you're like, okay, see you later. And then you're going off, you might give a little turnaround, you know, and they might turn back. And I always kind of judge that sometimes, that if they don't turn back, then like, it's like, you're like, oh, that's kind of sad. Okay, but if they do turn, you know, if they do turn around, and then you catch your eyes again, then you're like, hey, yeah, see ya.
Yeah.
And then you carry on walking. You might turn around again. If they turn around again, it's like, oh, cool.
You put the phone down. No, you put the phone down. It's that
one. Yeah, exactly. You know, if that's there, no matter like the leaving, the separating, like leaving each other or leaving a situation, if you have that at any point in your life, you know, within everything going on, or that glance in a room where there's loads of people and you just, that knowing look, you know what I mean, with someone.
Yeah.
And if you still have that, then everything's going to be all right. You know what I mean? I kind of think like the whole world, everything that's going on outside.
Yeah.
If you just have that one little thing with someone, then it's okay. It's
good. That's cool. Well, before we listen to Power Lines, then let's wish you all the best for the forthcoming live dates and for the release of Outsiders. But Romeo, I guess it's too early to ask really, but what might come next for you as a member of the band, but elsewhere too?
Yeah, well, the main thing really for the rest of this year is touring this record. We're going to America and Japan and stuff. We're getting things set up everywhere and kind of rebuilding a lot as well, because this time around, like I was saying about doing our own label and just having a lot more in place of knowing what this new world within the music business is. So like almost like just finding our cool little place within it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been a fun thing in the last year. So
kind of recalibrating.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. But we want to bring this record to as many people everywhere, really. That's the main thing. And then also Ren's record is all mixed and all ready to go, which I produced with Dave Lynch, who also worked on the Numbers record. So doing loads of projects with Dave, actually. I've got this other project with Peter from Peter Beyond and John.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Neil McCall. So it's the three of us. We went in, just started making this record together. It's going to be great. It's more sort of acoustic, starting from a kind of acoustic starting point, but then getting somewhere different. So yeah, so there's that. And there's other things. Just want to make as much records. I've been doing bits of production for people as well. And have you heard of the Goat Roper Rodeo Band? Heard of those guys yet?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Well, they're amazing, and I just made their new record, which honestly, like the songwriting on there is great. Like they're all coming to their own, like writing, and Tom, like the main writer, I think he's got something incredible songwriter. Nice. So. Yeah, no. So there's tons of little things. But yeah, but it's all numbers now. It's all much numbers. We're gonna rock this one.
Excellent. Okay, well, Romeo Stoddart, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, nice one. Lovely chatting to you. Lovely questions. Really nice one.
Darling.
got me thinking of their first time. He got me thinking. Baby, you know these are hard times. We can make it through these hard times. You get tossed out.
www.themouthmagazine.com